Hello, hockey humans of the world, and welcome to Tough Call Pod Season 2, where I talk about all things player safety in the NHL. Questionable hits, controversial calls, join the over 2,500 others who follow me on Twitter, at Tough Call Blog, like and follow the Tough Call Facebook page, and find me on Instagram as well, Tough Call Podcast, for videos of all the latest incidents and to hear my takes on them. Send me your own clips of any hit or call you'd like me to talk about, and take a second right now and hit the subscribe button on this podcast. And while you're there, you could also leave me a review, preferably 5 stars. It'll really help me reach even more people and get the message out on how we can reduce the instances of head contact and concussions in hockey. Did you subscribe? Perfect. And thank you. Now on with the show. Okay, this is going to be a second straight one incident episode. I keep meaning to put a full episode together, but every time I try, a major incident happens. So I can't seem to find time between major incidents in the NHL these days to put together a full episode. So I'm just going to talk about one thing today. I think we all know what it is. So to start off with, I'm going to try and give some rationalization to the decision to fine Tom Wilson $5,000. And it's pretty bad when I don't have to introduce the player or the play in question. And that will bring me to something else later, but what the NHL, I'm sure, is thinking is players punch each other or otherwise take advantage of players in vulnerable positions all the time, after scrums and, after the whistle and in front of the net. So right there, is Tom Wilson the problem or is hockey the problem? And on that theme, they'll say it's normal for two players to wrestle and grapple and throw each other to the ice and blah, 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 which again, it kind of is normal. Fighting culture in hockey has normalized throwing a helmetless player to the ice. It really has. I mean, imagine in football after every play, or even one out of every 5, or even one out of every 10 pileups, which happen every play. Imagine if you had players face washing each other, throwing punches. The officials just say, well, it's both of them, so it evens out. Nothing to see here. It's just two good guys, right? Sure, that happens some. I know there's things that go on in the bottom of those piles that we don't see. But it's by no means an expected thing to happen, that two people will just get up, start pushing each other, punching each other, hitting each other with weapons. And I guarantee that when it does happen in football, the announcers aren't just chuckling going, ha, 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 two good guys who've been around, they know what it's about, and you love to see it. They don't do that in other sports. Tennis player Novak Djokovic, he was kicked out of the U.S. Open. He did a heartfelt apology for accidentally hitting a ball person in the throat with the ball. It was a big deal. An insult to the sport. And yet, we have a video of Carter Hart, Philadelphia goalie, smashing his stick to smithereens against the goalpost. And we don't just not penalize him, he's praised for showing emotion. We say, oh, we love to see that passion. Look at this guy, at least somebody cares in Philadelphia. Jake Muzzin flips the puck at Matthew Tkachuk, and we laugh at Tkachuk. And we say, just a little bit of gamesmanship there, nothing to see here. And some of you are sitting here saying, well, that's why I love hockey. And that's what makes hockey different. And, well, you're right. That is what makes hockey different. It's entirely different. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, we should punish that puck flip, although I would have fined him, just to say that, it's kind of unsportsmanlike. But you can still laugh at it and find it amusing. But it just means hockey is entirely different. Just imagine, if you will, a batter gets on first base in baseball, and he's having some words with the first baseman. They get in each other's faces, and the batter licks the first baseman. I mean, really, really imagine that happening. What would the reaction be? But in hockey, that was accepted. Some fans, of course, we find it weird, and we were all kind of shaking our heads a bit, but that's how far it went. That's as far as it went. It wasn't really that outrageous. The league certainly didn't feel the need to do anything. So hockey is just an entirely different culture altogether. And if you can believe it, and I know some of you only watch the NHL exclusively and no other hockey, but the NHL is the extreme version of hockey culture. It's not just unique from any other sport. It's unique from any other level of hockey, and I think we forget that sometimes, how far beyond normal it is. So when we have people recognizing this Tom Wilson play for what it is, compared to what an actual hockey play is, we see this as something that's beyond what you would find in hockey. It's just outrageously so far beyond acceptable that you can't imagine how anyone sees it as remotely okay. But when some fans try and argue it's not that different from some things that happen every game or every other game, unfortunately, they have a mild hint of a point. Just mild enough to plant that seed of doubt. Is this normal? Am I being unreasonable? Am I being unfair? And that little seed is what the NHL banks on. There was enough outrage that they issued a token fine, but they've also justified the point of view with that this wasn't so bad. So you didn't lose any fans on either side. Oh, well, we say, oh, well, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. At least they punished it somewhat. And other people are saying, see, it wasn't that bad. That fine is ridiculous, but it's not a 10-game suspension, so ha-ha. And along the same vein, we have the, if this wasn't Wilson, you wouldn't even be talking about it crowd. And again, that's supported by the few other clips of players doing something close to this, and they're not being outraged to those players. And I'll tell you where I stand with this. I'll be honest, they're right. If this wasn't Tom Wilson, or if it was rookie Tom Wilson with no history even, I'd be asking for something here, but I wouldn't be asking for a huge suspension like I am now. Some people would. Some people say this is beyond, this is too far, it outright deserves its own suspension. I'm not even saying that. I'm trying to be reasonable. I'm saying, look, in a hockey universe, I'm trying to get my mind around the fact that this could be even a little bit acceptable, but even if you get to that point, it's Tom Wilson. That is the whole point. I said when he suspended, I said it when he was suspended for boarding Carlo. You folks think, you know, why do they always pick on poor Tom? Anyone else, you don't bat an eye. Well, even if you think this isn't that bad, of course we're harder on Tom Wilson. He does this stuff all the time. What will it take for you to see that? He deserves to be treated differently as a 5-time repeat offender. And that's just for stuff they actually punished him for. Let's just say for the sake of argument that for anyone else, this wouldn't even be a fine. For a second offense even, maybe this wouldn't even be a fine. Let's just say this is a $5,000 fine worthy offense for only a 3-time repeat offender. That's being extremely off the charts generous in my mind for what the punishment should be. But even at that, we're talking about Tom Wilson, the all-time leader in suspendable offenses per 60 here. So yes, Tom Wilson may be getting a punishment no one else would, but that's nobody's fault but his. He's not the victim here. And don't even start with the, well, Panarin shouldn't have even jumped on his back. I thought under the code, Panarin should be the one we praise. Fighting culture has normalized that too. In a league where it's okay to do what Wilson did here, why wouldn't Wilson think he had worse coming to him? Why wouldn't he think a player would try and step up and jump on his back and take care of him and do the vigilante justice thing that we all just praised Wayne Simmonds for? This is what you code lovers want, isn't it? Because according to the code, Panarin had every right to grab Wilson and beat him to a pulp. So, on the other hand, of course, Wilson would think that more was going to happen, and he would probably escalate it to try and preemptively defend himself from something he thinks is coming, something that he thinks he deserves, something that Wilson would certainly have no problem doing to someone else and being proud of it, right? So, of course, maybe he would flip out a little bit and go, oh, this person's on my back. I probably have some bad things coming to me. I'm going to do whatever I can to prevent that from happening. And you come up with this chokeslam move. So again, to put this in a context, a normal person, even at that, would turn around and grab Panarin and maybe try and get a few punches in, or even throw him to the ground a little bit. But they wouldn't yank him down by the hair and then punch him a bunch more times. Of course, Tom Wilson's honorable because he left his gloves on. I mean, if he really wanted to hurt him, he would have, right? Don't even give me that. Even if a person is going to try and defend themselves against someone who jumps on their back, this is still a little bit beyond the realm of what you would expect. But even after all that, if you still want to believe pile driving a player's head to the ice, punching him while he's down, diving on a second player and throwing 3 rib shots at them, and then taking a third player off your back and choke slamming them by the hair, even if any one of those things alone is just borderline defensible to you, he did all 3 of those things in a 15-second span. The point being, even by any stretch of the imagination, what Wilson did was worse than any comparable that wasn't punished by a suspension. And because it's him, he deserves more. Even his biggest fans have to at least start to see this. But even after all I've said, if you still want to think Tom Wilson is some sort of victim and the Department of Player Safety treats him unfairly, let's just take a look at that for a minute. He was suspended for his boarding against Brendan Carlo because of all of his history. Even the Department of Player Safety in their video explained that, you know what, for some people, this wasn't that bad. We could even say that that play could be construed as clean, just a hockey play gone wrong by any other person. But because it's someone who's been suspended so many times in a short period of time, we have to go harder on him. And they gave him a 7-game suspension because of that. So looking at that from the Department of Player Safety's rationale, even if he's being unfairly treated, they're not being even consistent at that. Because they already suspended him 7 games for something they wouldn't normally suspend someone else for because it was him, and gave him all this background about his history and why they feel they need to send him a message. And then he turns around in the same season, does another offense that they think is worthy of supplemental discipline. He's now even more of a repeat offender, and they only fine him. You would think this would be more than a 7-game suspension. So it doesn't matter what angle you look at this from, it doesn't matter what team you're on or who you cheer for, the Department of Player Safety has made a mind-boggling choice here with this fine. So even if you disagree with the dirtiness of the play, you have to also be on the same side as everyone should be on the same side of going, what the heck is the Department of Player Safety doing here? Can we at least all agree on that?
Hi folks, thanks for listening to Tough Call. If you're enjoying my takes on head contact and player safety, but you'd like to hear me talk about other aspects of hockey, I'd like to take just a minute and tell you about another project of mine, Bolton from Bolton. Bolton from Bolton is where I, Josh Bolton, and my brother Matt, you guessed it, Bolton, set each other up for lively hockey talk covering literally anything to do with it. It's not heavy analysis and stats, it's kitchen banter, like you do with your own family and friends. Head over to YouTube and subscribe to our Bolton from Bolton channel. That's B-O-U-L-T-O-N. Or find us on all audio formats as well. We find ourselves funny. Maybe you will too. And there's only one way to find out. See you there. And now, back to Tough Call.
At Tough Call, I'm not trying to pick on specific teams or individual players. I want to make the game safer for every player on every team, across every league, really, with no player left behind. I want to cover as many incidents as I possibly can to increase the sample size and make a stronger case for how harsher penalties and properly targeted player education can work in reducing head contact in hockey, all instances of it. The Department of Player Safety supposedly has people watching every second of every game. Now, as much as I'd like to watch every game, as much as I try to, and as much as I'd like to have video of every questionable incident, the truth is, I'm only one man with an iPhone and the Game Center app. I already get a lot of help from people like you who send me videos or links to incidents, or even just a quick tweet or message saying, hey, did you see? Third period, Bolts-Kings game, checking to the head penalty. Something like that. It means a lot, and it makes a huge difference. Follow me on Twitter at ToughCallBlog, and like the Facebook page ToughCall, and as you watch, if you see a cheap play or something dirty or anything that makes you go, hey, you idiot, what are you watching? How did you miss that? Please send it my way, and a big thank you to those of you who already do. Keep them coming. We'll be right back.